Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chad Hartman Show now brings you
Rochelle,
a reporter turned columnist's strange, exotic, and dare we say iconic.
You're wasting my time here.
Journey through cheers and jeers. Please welcome from the Minnesota Star Tribune, Rochelle Olson.
I feel like I should open the wine right now. You know, it's like we're at a cafe somewhere, you know, and do we invite Dave or is it just the two of us?
Oh, well, we have to invite Dave. I mean, he's the one who made it all possible, really.
Yeah. I just set the mood is what I do.
Mood setter.
You're welcome.
Is that tone setter? Is that who you feel like you are?
That's fair.
He's the tone setter. All right. Our friend Rochelle.
The music.
Yeah.
The music really does it for me. That's the best part.
Oh, so not. In other words, not Dave's words, just the music.
Yeah, no, it's all great, but the music really takes it to the next level.
In other words, Dave, just look pretty over there and don't talk. That's pretty much what Rochelle said.
I'll actually take that.
Yeah, you
just called me pretty.
Exactly. All right, Rochelle, like all the guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. A yes or no, are we going to have a special session in reaction to the tragedy at Annunciation Church?
Well, it doesn't really look like it at this point, does it?
No. I've never felt it was going to happen because I see no signs where any Republican in leadership wants to move one centimeter on any sort of gun changes in the state.
Well, I don't think it's just the Republicans in leadership that don't want to move. I think I don't get the sense there's a lot of will, and I suspect there was I have some sympathy for it. I think immediately in the aftermath of the shooting, you know, there was that sense of some like, let's try to do something. And Walz says, throws out this notion of a special session and without really, there's sort of all that emotion, and now you see he's doing his statewide tours to talk about it. But, it doesn't really feel like anything's going to happen.
Well, and also his announcement, what was it, about 10 days ago, when he wasn't even in the state and said, I'm calling for a special session October 6th to October 12th. Here are the positions which have to be addressed. I mean, it doesn't work that way at all. So that was all pure 26 politics, right?
Well, I don't know if it was pure politics. I mean, I do think that Walz and a lot of the Democrats genuinely would absolutely love to do something. And I think it was, I've talked about this before. It was really, and continues to be really, really emotional and really moving to hear these parents and these first responders come in and, I mean, talk about children with blood on them from their classmates or their own blood and the smell of, you know, what all that must have smelled like. I mean, it's haunting, and I think there's a sense that Democrats would like to do something, but the reality, it's just not happening.
Yeah, I would love to see us try a number of things. I've said this to you. I've said it to other people. You know, it's frustrating. And by the way, when the Democrats had the trifecta, they couldn't get major changes on guns either, including a number of Democrats in greater Minnesota wouldn't vote for. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't have a significant debate, and I'm open to other ideas. But my point was, the governor knows how a special session works. He knows he just doesn't lay out the agenda, and the Republicans just nod and say, whatever you say, sir. So that part to me was just trying to position himself. And I think it's also fairly accurate that he made a promise to a number of the Annunciation parents and said, we're going to do something. And he's trying to do all sorts of things. He's trying to be the governor. He's trying to live up to his word. He really believes in it. And he's also trying to be the governor again, January of 2027.
Yeah, and I mean, even you get beyond, we can talk about the politics of the gun stuff, or we can talk about, you know, passing gun stuff. But I mean, the threshold problem here, and as he well knows, is we don't even have a full legislature right now. They are so closely divided. I mean, we've got two seats. I don't know how. I'm not even sure they have the votes to procedurally gavel themselves in or out. I mean, it's you need 68 votes in the House, and they're too. I don't know if they could even get that. I mean, procedurally, I don't even know what they could do. And we've got two open Senate seats, and they have the same sort of math problem there. So, as the governor well knows, and maybe just trying to keep talking about it, and you may be right, he wants to talk about it in 2026. But I don't know.
do you and Rochelle Olson is here. We're going to get to some items from Cheers and Jeers, and the governor's featured in Cheers and Jeers. What is a realistic scenario, or is there any scenario where a Democrat, where the two of us would have a conversation on air or off air and say she or he would actually have a chance to beat Walz, and it's a Democrat? Do you see any
Democrat?
Yeah. Do you see any Democrat saying, you know what, I like him, but there's just too much fraud. He's had his time. If he's at the top of the ticket, it might drag us down in other races. And I'm going to shock people, and I'm a somewhat established Democrat, and I'm going to take him on.
Do I think there are people who could do that potentially? But do I think anybody is going to do that? No. No, and I mean, I wrote a column a month or so ago when the state fair was going on about Secretary of State Steve Simon, who would be a very strong candidate for all sorts of reasons, not the least of them being he's very smart, he's incredibly scrupled.
Do you think he's a better candidate than Tim Walz? Because I do. Considering the fatigue.
Well, you're really putting me on the spot.
I am. Well, I also said I gave my opinion too. I think he would. Yep. I think there's a lot of fatigue and a lot of fraud, and there are a lot of independents and center left Democrats who have voted for Tim Walz, who still genuinely like him, who don't blame him as much as others for the fraud, but who are worried that he's more vulnerable than, let's say, a Steve Simon.
I think all of that is true. But I also think, as we know, Steve Simon is not going to run against Tim Walz. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody who could potentially win is going to do that. I just don't see any evidence that a Democrat's going to get in. I mean, we also know, I mean, that Walz can and will raise a ton of money.
Yes.
Quite easily because of his national profile. Mm-hmm. And no Democrat's going to get in. And like I said, I wrote about Steve Simon about a month ago, and I continue to hear from the people you sort of talk about, these sort of not hardcore Democrats, maybe fence sitters. I'm sort of surprised at the number of people who continue to bring Steve Simon up to me.
Yes.
So, which to me suggests that they like Steve Simon and would be interested in the Steve Simon candidacy and are tired of Walz. And will they eventually go back to Walz? Yeah, maybe. I think that's the expectation from the Walz camp, that he will have tons of money and be able to bring those people into the fold in a year or so, because the alternatives aren't going to be great. I mean, we talked a couple weeks ago. I mean, Mike Lindell is not the answer.
For material on the show, he is, actually.
Okay.
Not to be the guy. Okay, so it's October 10th today. If a Lisa Daymuth or another known Republican is going to jump in either race, either the governor's race or the Senate race, which right now there aren't any big names in that race. There just aren't. When is their deadline? When do you think if somebody's getting in, they have to get in by what date, what month? What are we talking about?
Oof, I don't know that there's a deadline per se, but again, Walz is going to have so much money that it's going to be hard for someone who hasn't run statewide before,
yep,
a Republican, to ramp that up. And I mean, earlier this week, I was on a panel with three Republicans, including your friend, former Governor Tim Pawlenty, and two rising stars in, yep, the Republican Party, Senator Zach Duckworth and Senator Julia Coleman. And
yes, right.
They're not, you know, this is not, they don't, they're kind of, I'm like, who else is getting in? And I pressed them on that, and it was just kind of shrug. I think kind of like they're saying, you're seeing it, which, I don't know. Does that speak to Walz being stronger than we think? I don't know.
Well, and not just Walz, too. I'm talking about the Senate seat. Like,
yeah, I know.
Julia Coleman, to me, is very impressive. Like, I think if she was in the race, I don't think she has huge name recognition yet, but I think her positions where, to me, when I hear her, she speaks moderate. She certainly still votes every bit as a Republican, but that's an open Senate seat. That's not like it's Tina Smith running for a third term, or where it's Amy and you're not going to run. And I personally think Angie Craig is going to be tough to beat, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Peggy Flanagan wins that. But if you're a Republican, Rochelle, you've got all the baggage on Walz and you have an open Senate seat. This is the time for the Republicans to put up a couple very strong candidates.
Well, you would think so, but again, you want to talk about Julia Coleman. Julia Coleman has three young children.
Yep.
Which makes it, and Zach Duckworth has four young children, which they both will say makes it very difficult. And I mean, I've also heard, you don't know who's going to come out of that DFL primary. I think there's a concern from Republicans that Angie Craig would be very difficult, if not impossible, to beat. That a sort of moderate Democrat woman is sort of the DFL's kryptonite, in Minnesota anyway. So I think there's a concern. What you're gonna get in that race and then have to face Angie Craig? I think there's a concern about that.
Our guy Hauser,
that would be really difficult.
Our guy Hauser listening reminds me that the actual technical deadline for filing is, you know, in June. So yeah, it wasn't just it wasn't just the technical deadline. And I always appreciate Tom's info; it's great. It's just, when do you have to get in to really build something up? I think people are still waiting a lot on Daymuth if she's going to run. Let's pause. Let's get to more cheers and jeers. And also included in cheers and jeers is Mary Tyler Moore, Rochelle. Writing about Mary Tyler Moore. Let's jump into that in a little bit. I want to talk Stretch Lab. I plan on participating in a little Stretch Lab this weekend. Grab Q, go over there, whether it's tonight or tomorrow. Maybe if it doesn't work out, we'll go Monday. My son has significant physical challenges. He has scoliosis. He had double leg surgery. He doesn't have a lot of flexibility, so we do plenty of stretching at home. But when I bring Quentin, he is an example of how great Stretch Lab is. I can bring my 24-year-old son and his challenges. You could bring in your 24-year-old son or daughter who don't face some of the physical challenge that Quentin does, and they're fit, and they're cyclists, or they're bikers, or they're, you know, tennis, whatever it might be, and they're in great shape. All of them can be helped to Stretch Lab. Me, a guy who's not exactly 24, sits in this chair too often doing the show, I'm helped. Dave just ran a triathlon a few weeks ago. He can be helped. It's worth going one time. And if you go one time, get the 50-minute session. We have double-figure locations in town. They'll assess you with the equipment they have. They'll also sit down with you, and you'll get a trained professional. And I guarantee you, after 50 minutes, you're going to feel better. And I think most are going to say, okay, when can I come up again? What sort of programs do you have, including a monthly fee? I believe in it 100%. Helps me out every single time. Trust me on this one. StretchLab.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to share with us the bumper music theme, Dave Harrigan? You can include Rochelle in the conversation here.
Well, I sure can. The theme today has been in honor of our in-studio guest, specifically the meanest mom in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So we have mom-themed music.
Mom-themed music.
Yes.
Very, very good. Rochelle is having to move on. Mary Tyler Moore was in the 70s. Let's go. Let's move on. Let's deal with shows that are on right now. Let it go. Come on.
You telling me to let it go?
Yeah. Mary Tyler Moore, let it go. Come on.
Well, she's still on Nicollet Mall. I mean, she's part of the identity of the city. I just thought it was the hat's kind of a cool little archival thing. What's not fun? What's not to love?
Dave, are you worried about Mary's hat right now?
I wasn't until right now.
Yeah, now you are.
I'm a bit concerned. I'm going to walk down Nicollet.
Well, you know what?
Check it out.
You know what this is, though? This is the patriarchy. I don't think you appreciate what Mary Tyler Moore means to women.
Yeah, Chad.
Oh, that
you're just so, Archie Bunker.
I'm now a sexist because
yes.
I'm
call
not
it out, Rochelle.
Yep. I'm not worried where Mary's hat is. You nailed it.
I just call it like I see it.
That's it. I did read the same story. So this is Mary Pat. Did you watch the documentary on her? It was really good. Did you happen to see it?
You talking to me?
Yeah. No.
No, I'm talking
to the guy across the street. Hey, Fred.
Okay. No, I did. I don't know. You never talking to Dave or me or.
Yeah. There's other people in here.
No.
The meanest mom's in here or son's in here. No, the documentary, I think it was an HBO doc. It's really well done. And her husband, now widower, Robert Levine, he's featured a lot. And you talked about how they had a big estate, but not the woolen hat. So tell people where the hat is at this point.
Well, he has the hat, right? I mean, it was he was keeping it. It sounds like they have this big estate, and she passed away a few years ago, and he's. Well, they had a big estate sale earlier this summer, but the hat was in a manila envelope in a file cabinet, and he wasn't selling the hat. He thinks it should be on display, but it sounds like they talked to the Fashion Institute of Technology here in Manhattan. I'm in Manhattan, by the way.
In
New York, not in Manhattan. Maybe it's in Brooklyn. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's been, it just, things aren't as simple as putting something on display, but for whatever reason, he's selling some of her estate, but he thinks some of it should go on display. And it's actually kind of a cool story because he talks about, people would say, well, how did she get to keep the hat?
Yeah.
You know, that actors don't get to keep the clothes. And he said, well, she owned the production company.
It was MTM. It was her.
Also, you know,
yeah, that was
groundbreaking.
Huge. It was,
yeah,
you know, because to her credit too, because she was married to Grant Tinker, who was so involved in television productions, and she said, yeah, Grant, go ahead. You sit this one out. I'll be running the show on this. And she did, and all the amazing things she did. The show still holds up. I was just kidding you. The hat should be round. You know, I will still say that my favorite Mary Tyler Moore performance is in Ordinary People. Did you ever see Ordinary People?
Are you kidding me? You were just as you were talking about her and Mary Tyler Moore, I was already thinking. I can't think about her without thinking about that. That was just that whole movie was.
It's brutal.
And of course, we just saw the passing of Robert Redford, the director, but written by an Edina woman.
Yes.
Judith Guest, right?
Exactly.
It was just kind of the whole thing just. Not exactly mind-blowing, but it definitely feels more groundbreaking. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, just the 30...
All around, Donald Sutherland and Mary Tyler Moore, just wow.
Yeah, the 30 seconds is they lose one of their two sons in an awful accident, and how the family all reacts. And Mary Tyler Moore is villainous. She is so missing the one son. She's so tough to live with. She's incredibly difficult on her son, Timothy Hutton. Sutherland doesn't know how to deal with it. Judd Hirsch plays this tremendous therapist and the dynamic. Mm-hmm. And it's Redford directing his first movie and going up against phenomenal movies. He wins the best director. So if you ever want to see Mary Tyler Moore not playing Mary Tyler Moore and you haven't seen it yet, you're missing out. Okay, let's go one last thing. Let's stay non-political. The bathroom. What did you think of the bathroom and winning the award?
Well, it's great, right? I mean, design, I think goes to show the State Park bathroom won an award for best public restroom. And I mean, it just goes to show that good design matters and you can appreciate sort of these quotidian things around us that when you're in a place where things work, you can appreciate it. And so I thought it was great.
Yeah, Bearhead Lake State Park, they get the award. Can you think of in the metro area, maybe current or in the past, a particular bathroom that really stood out to you?
Ooh, that's kind of tough. I mean, I do frankly, I like the bathrooms with the mosaics at MSP Airport.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here we go.
And the fact that they have the big, heavy, long doors and everything, that you're not kind of, wrestling with those. So
yeah, well, it's also infamous because we had Larry Craig out there, too.
Well, yeah, I know, but I think they've been remodeled since then. But I covered that, too.
They should honor Larry Craig. Come on, they should honor Larry Craig for that bizarre moment. Okay, why are you in Manhattan?
Just for a fun weekend.
Oh.
My best friend lives here, and so I'm just hanging out. And, yeah, just for a weekend.
Going to some nice restaurants? What are you doing?
Yes. I've got happy hour at 6 p.m. down in the Village, Chad.
Oh,
so,
la-di-da.
So we got that. That'll kick off our weekend. My friend is an editor at the Wall Street Journal, and we're meeting with a couple of her colleagues. So, and then, I don't know, we're not going to any plays this time. We'll probably catch the Man Ray exhibit at the Met, I think, and do some walking around. It's going to be a beautiful fall weekend until the rain comes in,
yeah,
I think, on Monday or something.
I think even Sunday might be coming in. All right, have fun, be safe, and we'll talk next week.
All right.
Rochelle Olson, cheers and jeers. Thank God the Am I Wrong committee's been fired. They're done. Could be permanently. I wouldn't mind. I'm a little tired of the committee, I got to be honest.
You've already been censured.
Yeah.
Do you want it again?
The meanest mom in Minnesota is here to play Am I Wrong. That's next on CCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.